Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 279, part 1, Promise 1. Today is Friday, February 15th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled Promise. Number one. Now, I have ministered many times on the seeds, the plowing and the sowing and the reaping. But I think, like never before, the gospel and the promise of the free gift, the simple gospel message, which after all we're finding out isn't too simple, must be preached. In other words, we must sow the seed. Sow the seed to reach the world. And Jesus says, go to the highways and byways, minister unto all creation. And more pointedly, let's say, to reach the north side. And I think we, like farmers, must then have joy in what is set before us. The harvest. The unseen reaping, coming up, if you will, of the seeds that were planted for these 8 years. And you'll really never ever know exactly what happens totally when you just go ahead and plant the seed without worrying about who's going to cause it to grow. See, that's where we get caught up. We plant the seed and then we wonder, well, maybe we should teach this seed a little more. Now, that seed, you don't even see what's happening on the inside. The incorruptible seed, despite us and in spite of us, will grow. Yeah, that's why it's called incorruptible, because we cannot corrupt it. Are you hearing this? That buried seed, that which you cannot see. And so a lot of times when you do works and you do things, you don't always see exactly what's happening. But the Word of God says, sow the seed. Go ye out unto the highways and the byways and minister unto all creation. Sow it. The joy before thee, it says in the Bible, according to the joy in the harvest. First, the suffering, the plowing, getting out the seeds first then, and then the plowing, separating the seeds, then the plowing, and then the sowing, and then the reaping. God is the one that gives the increase. So hard for us to come away with that idea in our mind that God is the one that's causing the increase. We think that we are going to cause someone to grow. No, we simply follow the command of God and plant the seed. Why? The Bible says, the joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest. And, you know, I'm seeing things right now, and I praise God for what you can see. God, every once in a while, will allow you to see something that He had you do in the way of sowing, and then there's a coming up, and you'll see, wow, I thought nothing was happening, and all of a sudden, here we are with little bits of things happening. I remember I moved out to Coon Rapids some, oh, this is 30 years ago now. And I didn't have money to put in the back, the grass in the back, so I took some rye seed. Well, rye seed just comes up real quick and then it dies out. But I put it out there, and every morning I would take a peek out there. Nothing happening, no, nothing happening. Then one morning I took a look out there, and it was ever so light, like real, real light, like almost like hair coming up. And so even though I was sleeping, and for, you know, a few days or a week or so, nothing really was coming up. I couldn't see anything. All the time, God was working. Hallelujah. I remember my own life at 8 years old. Someone had planted a seed there. My grandmother had been praying for everybody. And I remember that there was a little quickening in my spirit. Something I remembered all through my life and up until I was 39 and a half years old when I got saved. And something was happening on the inside. Even though I wasn't saved, God was causing something to happen. And so we, like farmers, will see the reward of our toils in due season. It says our harvest will come according to our labor in due season. Payday will come. Hallelujah. Do you all like payday? Well, usually Friday is payday. How many in here like payday? I do. You don't like payday? I'm sure you do. But anyway, payday will come in due season. Well, you know, it's according to the seed that we plant. Whatever you plant, that's exactly what you're going to reap. He that soweth, the Bible says, to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And only the man that soweth to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm sowing my wild oats right now, so I'm going to have a few drinks. And I'm sowing my wild oats right now, so I'm going to experiment with drugs. I'm going to experiment with being addicted. And all that's going to bring is a miserable, terrible harvest. Miserable, wasted life. And probably he thinks if I sow these seeds, it will bring me pleasure. Maybe it does for a season. I don't know. But no, only the seeds of righteousness can bring us real, lasting pleasure. Now, I mean, if you want to receive it. You see, I mean, a lot of times people reap seeds of their of the labor of God has them to do, but they aren't getting the joy out of it. But anyway, as a man sows thistles in his furrows, he can expect also weeds to come up and death. If he then sows vice, he cannot reap happiness. And so we must then be careful what we sow. The Bible says to sow peace and love and joy. And that then, of course, will bring the same back to you. But, you know, you get tired sometimes. You're weary and doing well because you don't see nothing. And, man, nothing's happening here. And after all, I become so self-righteous. And do people really appreciate me, how religious I've become? No, not really. That doesn't mean one single solitary thing to them. They don't. There's no fruit in it. I mean, the way you look or the way you walk, the way you hold your head erect and carry your Bible, or how many Bible studies, that isn't showing people anything. But anyway, it'll bring the same back to you. Isn't that a confidence builder? Takes a little time for it to happen, though. But isn't it a confidence builder that you know in due season, if you keep on a keeping on, you are going to reap a harvest? But if he sows to the wind, the Bible says he will reap a whirlwind. And he has no one to blame but himself. I'm afraid many need to examine themselves and say, from what seed am I? You listening on the radio. I think it's important we minister that. I think we should use a spiritual sieve in our lives, because appearances are very deceiving. I think the simple gospel then is a sieve. But I think a lot of times many have deceived their own souls. Well, I'm good. I'm not as bad as they are. And they'll tisk tisk over someone that's done murder or got into a whole lot of trouble. They might even say, well, I'm better than most, and that might be true. The Bible says, though, that the dead child of nature may be carefully washed by its mother. But this will not make it in any way, shape, or form the living child of grace, no matter how you wash it. Can't whitewash yourself and call yourself born again. It's a simple message. See, the life of God within the soul creates an infinite difference between the man who has it and the man who has it not. The point is that you make sure you have it. Make sure you have it. You who listen to this message on the radio or to this tape, maybe you're on your lunch break. Maybe you're driving along the highway. Maybe you're delivering parts someplace. Maybe you're in some kind of a truck driving down the highway, or maybe you're on vacation. Are you sure? I think it's an awful thing to cry, peace, peace, where there is no peace. And to prophesy then smooth things for yourself and make your heart easy, and to lull your conscience into slumber, and then never wake until the clap of thunder and judgment shall startle you out of presumption in a sort of an endless horror when it's so simple to come to Christ. Now, it's so close right now, and even if we're speaking in prophecy, actually, you're only a breath away. Your life is in your nose. You only get one breath at a time. I'm here today. We may be gone tomorrow. You're sitting here. You may walk out of here and drop dead. You're listening on the radio. You never know. Don't be too presumptuous. The door is open, and all you have to do is come on in. Maybe you're hearing a whole lot on TV or radio or whatever. See, there isn't a whole lot of time to make it. A decision is made. And a decision is made right then and there. Now is the day for salvation. Now is the day. You make that decision, and maybe after that you make it, Someone will come along with a whole lot of rules and regulations for you. They'll get you back into a flesh paddle, trying to save yourself by going upstream. Oh, golly. Ooh, are you hearing this? And check out your books. Take an audit. Are you in the grace column? You listening on the radio? If not, it won't add up. And I don't care how you try to make it add up or juggle, it won't add up. You'll end up in the end spiritually bankrupt. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your salvation. I should ask, are you an Ishmael or an Isaac? Are you one born of the flesh or are you one born of the Spirit? I think we must all come to the point of seeing that we are wretched sinners. Now, it's funny, but a lot of times we don't see that until after that we're saved. Well, God gives us enough repentance, the spirit of repentance, so that we can repent. You didn't just decide to come to Jesus Christ. Oh, I decided I was tired of this life. No. God has His ways, and He made sure that you were made tired of this life. And the Bible says, I will make you willing in the day of my power. You were not willing. He made you willing in the day of His power. So He gave you that spirit of repentance, but after that you get saved. Somewhere along the line, I don't care how self-righteous you get or, you know, right after you get saved, how pukey you can get. A lot of times you can just get to be pukey. And all of a sudden, the very things that you did, you're judging everybody else on that. You will come if you honestly seek the Lord. And even if you don't, you'll be brought to that cross. You'll be brought to that part in your life wherein you see just how miserable and wretched you really are. And that, my friends, is when change comes around, when you're just totally sick of yourself. How many have reached that point? I have several times in my life. Well, don't be ashamed of it. That's how you die daily. You don't want to. You have to die to that. I die daily. Or don't you want to die? Do you want to keep this self-righteous flesh parading around? And you know, all it'll do is build up guilt on the inside. And you hear preachers there yelling and shouting against this and yelling and shouting against that. And what are they doing? They're trying to convince themselves. Not that we don't preach against sin, but that isn't really the object. We should point people to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And so, are you an Ishmael or an Isaac? To be born, I'm saying, from above is supernatural. Are you a child born of a promise, an Isaac child? And also with that promise comes the power to perform. And it comes through learning how to be humble. You don't just all of a sudden decide to be humble. My, look how humble that person is. No, you can act out being humble. You can walk around trying to look humble. No, God's grace will cause us all to have that spirit of humility. I don't even know what I'm talking about in here. I've been through that. But anyway, with the promise also comes the power to perform. Or maybe you're thinking, I've been saved by what I've done. I have to ask you then, listening on the radio, is your religion the product of your own natural strength? Do you feel equal to all salvation may require of you? Do you, let's say, conclude to yourself or conclude yourself to be in a safe, happy condition because of your natural, let's say, excellence and moral ability? And even saved people get into that. That's a kind of a gray area. that is really kind of a gray area. I think then if you do feel that way and you have come to Christ, you know, you could be in half error, which will lead you into full error. Counts you useless. Well, I don't know. Maybe you and I are an Ishmael. To you, the inheritance will never, ever come. Because it is an inheritance according to the promise, not anything that you have done on your own. It is an inheritance according to the promise, not according to how nice you are. Not according to what a nice fellow you are, I'm saying, or lady you are. No, it's according to the promise and not according to the flesh. Isn't that great? It's according to the promise. Well, your kids, you promise them something. They'll come up and say, "You promised! You did!" Huh? Aren't you glad it's according to the promise? Now, maybe you've only been saved for 2 weeks, and you're on cloud nine, see, and now you're just, oh, you're judging everybody, and oh, man, I'm on the right track now. I quit doping, I quit smoking, I don't drink alcohol, and everybody else that does is going to hell. Well, that's all right. You enjoy yourself for a season, because God has got his way of making you change your mind, fella. Say amen, somebody. It's according to the promise. Not according to our judgments on other people. Aren't you glad of that? My, I am so glad it's according to the promise. How many times have you had someone that would take your salvation from you if it was according to them? Now you can wash your Ishmael, yourself, your flesh, as much as you please. And you can say something like, "Well, now how do you feel now, Ish?" Short for Ishmael. You can take Ishmael to church. You can make him behave. You may even improve his nature. He may even be accepted by the moral majority. Wow. But you see, you cannot raise his old nature to the nature of grace. You cannot take old Ish's nature, the flesh nature, and raise it to that area of grace. Because it isn't his grace. It's the Lord's grace that's sufficient. It's according to the promise of God that my grace is sufficient, that we are elevated, not of our own works, but of the grace of God. Not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Wow, I like that. That's really encouraging to me. And I hear someone say, "Well, maybe you need it." I don't. Oh, but you do according to the promise you do. The promise is, if you don't accept it by the grace of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't accepted it at all. Now, maybe you've even been born again and you're living in that gray area. Just like you have children born in nature that live in that gray area, whether you're going to love them or not. Or you still love them, but you might love one more than the other, probably. They're still part of your family, do you understand what I'm saying? But they're living in sort of a gray area. And so I think a lot of times we stand in the doorway and won't let folks through. But you can do this. You may improve his nature. I said, he may be accepted by some in a certain group. You might say, "Well, no, you've met all the qualifications. Come on in here to our group. No, I mean, this is a grand group of people we have here. Now just take a look at our bylaws here. Take a look at what we stand for here. Now we do this, and we do this, and we do this, and we believe you have to do this, and this, and this, and this, and such, and so on to be saved. And if you haven't gone through these steps, then you're not really saved. No, you're saved by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's how you're saved, and that's how you're kept by the power of God. Well, do you believe in water baptism? I do, but it doesn't get you saved. I mean, you can sprinkle yourself, you can get in the shower, you can jump in the Mississippi, you can go out here to Twin Lakes, you can just about do everything. It won't get you saved. The man on the cross, the robber on the cross, he didn't have time to get down, go over and get himself baptized. Well, do you believe a person should be baptized? Yes, I do. But that does not get him saved. Yes, I do. But it doesn't get him saved. It's an accepting the promise. Ah, I love that. No, I said you cannot raise that old nature to the grace level, because there is then a distinction at the very fountainhead between the stream that arises from the sewage center. I'm talking about that flesh Adam nature. And the river, the Bible says, which proceeds from the throne of God. You've heard that song, "There is a River." And anyway, don't forget that our Lord said, "Ye must be born again." Ye must be born again. I came to save sinners. Will you come on to me? Come on to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not someone else, not the rules and regulations. I will give you rest. And in the end, you're going to see more movements of the Holy Ghost than you'd ever seen before. And I'm not talking about, you know, supernatural moves that will get people's flesh going. I'm talking about the salvation of people. People are bored with the simple message of salvation and saving people and bringing them into the kingdom of God. Oh, we got to go way beyond that. You can't go beyond it. You got to come in at the door. Well, and when you come in at the door and you really fully receive the promise of God, there's nothing else you can talk about but the promise that delivered you. But our Lord did say, "Ye must be born again." And if you have not been born again from above, listen to me now on the radio. Like I say, maybe you're on vacation, maybe you're driving a parts truck, maybe you're driving some kind of a delivery truck, maybe you're sitting at home, maybe you're sitting there and you're feeling nasty and mean. I don't know, but listen to this. All your church going, all your singing and all your praying and all your fasting and all your tears and all your Bible reading and all that may come from yourself can only lead to yourself. And you're just running in a circle. See, I'm saying the water will naturally rise as high as its source and no higher. You can't make it rise. You can't talk to it. That which begins with human nature will rise to human nature and no higher. Which is, let's face it, how low can you go? But to the divine nature, it cannot attain. And now let me say again, even you that are certainly, positively saved can get locked up in this sort of a presumption. And you're never raised above it because you only go on the promise and not on what you have done. Not on your acclamations and not on the things that you've done and not on your works. Well, don't I get credit for nothing? No. Well, I mean, nothing? No. No, what you get out of your works is peace. Now, if you're not doing it for work's sake, for everybody to see it. What you get out of it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're looking for your flesh to get a pat on the back, now, if someone comes and pats you on the back, that's all right. But don't be walking around getting causing arthritis in your arms by trying to pat yourself on the back. No, you'll never go any higher in that human nature. And it's like I said, a lot of times, people that are certainly born again and are going to heaven for sure get locked in on the sort of a stink like that. How many hearing his message? Isn't that pitiful? Whoo! But anyway, you're listening on the radio. Ask yourself this question. What family do I belong to? Are you an Ishmael or an Isaac? If you are like Isaac, born according to the promise, remember that your name in the Hebrew is laughter. Isaac, laughter. Hallelujah! Born of the Spirit, born of the promise, you must be born again. How simple it is! But see, it's simple, but yet if you don't start there, you cannot go on. And there's a whole lot of folks wasting time. Golly sakes, wasting time. Totally wasting time trying to elevate the flesh to some kind of prominence. Well, I do this, and I do that, and I speak in tongues. And I prophesy, and I have the gift of discernment, and so on and so on. The Bible says, if you don't have love, that's a whole lot of gonging. You belong to the gong gang. How many have seen that show? And they just rung this great big old gong thing, and out you go. Oh, we're so close to the end. Man, it is so close. I mean, even the world knows that. There's a nervousness. Look at Korea right now. Do you realize what's happening right there? See, I was in on that whole thing. The line that's drawn between North and South Korea, I was at the beginning of the thing in 1950. I'll tell you right now, we're at a very dangerous thing going on over there. Those two spots. Why do you think we got all those people and all those military people over there? Because that's the point of power. That is the point of power. The Berlin Wall is a point of power. Russia happens to have somebody pretty smart in there. You want the wall down? Let it come down. It's an opportunity to walk back and forth for both sides. Think about it now. We are at the very end, and I believe many Ishmaels are going to stomp and rave about who they are and how they got that way. They will argue over salvation. You can always tell an Ishmael. He argues with the promise. Argues with the Isaacs, argues with the grace of God, argues and is always and eternally out there arguing and running up and down the stage and running the mouth and going on and on and on and preaching, 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 but there's no love in it. And so they argue salvation, and even people that are saved gets into sort of an ish. And so they will be bound. You that aren't saved, of course, the Ishmaels will be bound. And you that are saved, they're walking in that gray area. You are forever going to be bound up. Because really, the child of the slave is never born free. Sometimes people are already free and they don't know it. The door is open to their cell and they swing back and forth on the cell. I wish I could get out. Dee-doo-dee-doo, dee-doo-dee-doo, back and forth on the cell door. because they have not fully received the promise. And isn't that a shame? I'm saying that Ishmael is not, cannot be, never will be, what Isaac, the child of the free woman, already is. Now remember this, I didn't say that Ishmael ever wanted to be like Isaac. There's a whole lot of Ishmaels that do not want to be like Isaac. They don't want to receive the promise. They don't want to go by the promise. They want to go by stretch, strain, white knuckles, bugged eyes, and blue veins in their neck. They want to go around feeling guilty all the time. Sort of a weird, white-lipped, puny-looking type of person. Are you hearing this? Nor did I say that he felt himself to be a loser. A lot of times people in the world, they don't feel themselves to be any kind of a loser. Man, I'm on top of it. And this guy that was on, he was raised $30 million on now. How to cheat at real estate. He's filing bankruptcy now. And all you guys out there bought all them tapes? $400 for a set of tapes? Do you think that people ever think that they're a loser? No, they don't. I'm no loser just because I'm different from Isaac. Just because I don't receive the promise. But in fact, he is and was so. Because the man who is laboring for self-salvation by his own works, and he may even boast he was born free, I believe is bound up in his whole life. He never knows what liberty means, and he wonders when men speak of full assurance of faith. And like I said, it's such a dangerous spot because there are a lot of people that are born again. And when you speak about full assurance, election, well, they just, well, I can't understand that. See, they don't understand it because it's a spiritual thing. The issues are never going to understand it. Issues. They're never going to understand it. Because it is a spiritual thing. It's one that has received the promise. A simple thing. Oh, it's simple. But do you receive it? It's like, here's $10. Now, in order to get it, you got to grab a hold of it. And then you got to use it after you have it. You got to spend some of it. You got to share it. And it will cause an increase. See, but there's a lot of people that sit around, man. They just get into this self-righteous, you know, my, they got these gowns on. And I mean, you know, it's a sort of a sickness. And like I say, I'm talking to people that aren't born again, but there's a lot of people that are born again that are half grace and half law. They really don't know. They change their doctrine every other week. Well, now I think that people can lose their salvation if they give it back. You can't give it back. That's like trying to give your life. Okay, God. I just want to make me non-existent. Have you ever wished that you weren't around? How many have wished one time or another, oh, I wish I wasn't here, I wish I wasn't around? Man. Maybe you're sitting, maybe you're a little guy in school, and they're going to call you and they think, oh, gee, I wish my name was Zebra instead of Benson, because they're going alphabetically and I have to get up and I have to give a 5-minute speech and I wish I wasn't even around. Oh, why was I born? Why am I living? Huh? Do you think you can wish yourself away? Or maybe other people wish you could wish yourself away, but it isn't so. It is not so. But he wonders anyway when men speak of the full assurance of faith. Oh, he judges that they take too much for granted. That's the unborn that say that. But like I say, I have to say this. There's a lot of people that are born again. I know they are born again, but they think you take too much for granted when you take the promise and you say, God, I believe you. Why not? Isn't there a whole lot of talk about believing nowadays? Even the world has signs now. We are the believers. And they have fingers pointing up, and it's a radio program. We believe in a certain program. See, they picked up on what we're doing here. And then the guy's out, and he's a boxer or something like that, and then he makes a comeback, and he does 14 more push-ups a day and drops this big hard ball on his stomach for a couple of months, and he says, I feel like I'm born again! Yeah, you can lose your meaning there if you just diddle with it. Diddle with it. No, this is a promise, and it's so precious. Hallelujah! It is a promise, and it is a precious promise. It is a pearl of great price. Sometimes these people scarcely have time to breathe between the cracks of their legal whip. He has done so much, but he must do much, much. I've done a lot, but I got to do more. Oh, get out of my way. I'm a sweating image. Not from love. No, not from love at all. Not from love to do things, but from sort of a duty. You ever been around somebody who does something, it's their duty they're doing it? Seems like they have to make a lot of noise while they're doing it. They're mad. They're down there and they're doing dishes or something, they bang every... Bam! Boom! Whip the dishwasher open. Throw the cups in there. Huh? They're doing it because it's a duty. Maybe they got up in the morning and, okay, God, I promise you I'm going to be good this week and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Then they come down and make a whole lot of noise so they can be heard of men. Out of duty! Look what I'm doing over here. Think this is easy? Why don't you try it? I don't love to do it at all. They hate it. No, he suffered a whole lot, but I must suffer more. I must suffer for the cause. I know, I'll wash dishes while I'm on my knees, barely able to reach a machine. I'll use a broom to push up the rack thing. That's it. Oh, I'll make it real hard on myself. Huh? What do you think of this? Look what I'm doing now. I'm not making it easy for myself. I'm walking around on this hard cement down here on my knees. God must really love me. Sort of a penance. Why don't you just go on the promise and get up? You aren't going to be of no use with wrecked knees. Even people pray like that. I don't know. Nobody knows how to pray like I do. Man, I pray every morning. Talk about devotions. Started out at 10 minutes and I pray 2 hours now. Oh yeah, with your face down and don't look, you might smother in your bed. You know what I mean? Just fall in your bed and smother in that big old feather bed there. That kind of stink I'm talking about. Now I've suffered much, but I must suffer much more for the cause. What cause? I don't suffer for nothing. I suffer for the joy of the harvest. The final finale, the payoff. Right? Come on, let's be realistic. And you know, he has never come into the rest, the Bible says, which remaineth for the people of God. You know, you can be doing your work and be at rest. You can be waiting on tables down here at the mission and be having fun doing it and be at rest. Just be at rest. You're just at rest. You ever been around somebody and you're working with them and they're working real hard and everything, but they're at rest? Not parade rest. You ever seen in the army how they have rest? Parade rest, man. You got a stint, your legs are locked, your arms are behind you, and you're standing like this. This is supposed to be resting. I often wonder about this. Parade rest, and then all the guys will stand like this, see? man, you call this resting? My knees are sore. Let me out of here. I want to lay down. If I'm going to rest, I'll just lay down. I'll believe in the promise. You lay down, God will give you sleep. Just be simple. Stupid, if you will. Parade rest! So everybody can see them on parade. They're rest on parade. Oh, I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Yes. Now, he has never come. Let me say it again. The rest which remaineth for the people of God. And why is that? I think it's because he is born of the bondwoman and his spirit is ever, ever in bondage. But on the other hand, he that is born of the free woman and understands that salvation is of the grace of God from the very first to the very last. Salvation is of, now watch this phrase, salvation, that's the main object, that is the beginning now. Salvation is of what? Of what? The main object, God. From, another prepositional phrase, from the first to the last. Well, how about me? You have nothing to do with that salvation. Nothing. You can't change it. Well, yeah, but now, see, God will never go against people's will. Well, he has ways of making you change your mind, sonny boy. Girly girl. His will is stronger than your will. I will make you willing in the day of my power. I can remember my mother making me willing in the day of her power. I don't want to. Oh, I'll make you want to. Spiritual, legalistic nincompoops. Do you think that's in the Bible for no reason at all? I will make you willing. Don't worry about folks. God will make them willing. Maybe they'll go to jail. Maybe they'll lay in the hospital with both arms and legs up in the air. But God will make them willing. Well, did God cause that to happen to him? No, he just let him, give him up enough rope. Even the world knows that. Even the prodigal son tells us that. Go ahead, go off to the far country, and here's all that you have coming. Here's your one third. The world will make you willing. I'm over the world. I'm over everything. You can go to hell, and I'll be down there. Ooh. You cannot get away from God. Do you think that one of your friends has gotten away from God? He can't get away from God.
There you have it. That was part one of Promise One. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the gonna have to serve some. You're poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks, you may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be devil, it might be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preaching spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.